Welcome to Hail Varsity Radio, the voice of Husker Nation. Insight, opinion, expertise, with the biggest and best names talking Nebraska across the state. Join the show on Twitter at Hail Varsity and at Schmitz underscore radio. Call in at 402-466-ESPN or 1-800-825-5865. Here's Chris Schmitz.
Great to have you in on Monday. It's Hail Varsity Radio, presented by the Nebraska Lottery. Chris Schmidt, the pride of Chicago. Daddy Burke is in. Can find us and follow us on Twitter at Schmidt underscore radio. At Danny Burke 5 at Hail Varsity. Email Chris at HailVarsity.com. And as always, tap the line. Schilling Bridge, Cork, and Tap House lets you do that. 466-3776. 466-3776. Toll free 1-800-825-5865. Numbers to get in on the program. You have email, you have Twitter. We are loaded up. Can't wait to talk football. 41 years and counting. Mr. Mike Babcock, historian, author, Hall of Famer. Babbers going to be with us in 15 minutes as camp gets rolling this week. Coach McBride, Mondays with Charlie. Mr. Blackshirt, Charlie McBride, in 1 hour. And then a really talented writer that's been doing college football for a long time with the sporting news. Bill Bender going to be with us in hour two. Daddy, before we get into break-ins and robberies, and this episode of Nebraska Cops Style, my friend, you're moving.
That's right.
Or you have moved.
I'm moving out tomorrow. I've been packing up
my
today.
Back hurts. Can't do it.
Yeah, you know what I was going to ask you after the show? I was going to wait till
no, I don't have a pickup.
Luckily, my roommate has one, actually, so I lucked out there. But, yeah, I'm going to need help from them.
You got to go upstairs, or is there an elevator?
There's an elevator, and then the parking garage goes up. So the car will be closed, and then they give you, like, big cards. What's going to suck?
How much crap do you have?
I have a bunch. It's unreal. It's just,
you're still bringing that Chicago flag with you?
Oh, yeah. Of course.
I thought that was a blanket. Now, I FaceTimed Danny at like 6:30 in the morning because I'm an idiot and I can't get the show on a Saturday morning. And when Danny like shakes and wakes, he's shirtless, which was a perk. And there's this Chicago flag above his bed.
Of course, gotta represent.
The baby blue with the white and the five red stars.
That's right. Yep. So yeah, I got a bunch of that stuff. All these bins. What's gonna suck is having to go up 3 flights in the new place, because that doesn't have the elevator. So we're all the way like 8th floor on this one, because there's, you know, the parking garage all the way up. So, but yeah, this one's not going to be as fun, so I'm going to have to guilt trip one of my buddies into helping me out. So we'll see how that goes. Might have to call you for backup, though.
Good luck.
We'll get Carson to do it, you know, get him built, get some muscles.
Yeah, that's exactly what he's a shakedown artist, though. How much you paying me? I tried to FaceTime him before the show started. He had a list of things to do, like clean, because he's a pig. I got ignored 3 times. He's in his 17th hour of
Fortnite.
Yeah,
he's playing Fortnite. Probably coming down to the wire.
He used both ends of the hammer on that computer. We will dive into the Honda fan poll question. Which true freshman will have the biggest impact on Nebraska's offense this year? Miles Jones, Cam Jurgens, Justin McGriff, Will Farniok. We'll get into that for a minute. But your news of the day, and this was able to break a bit right after I got off this morning on KFOR. Burglars swiping more than $172,000 in memorabilia from the home of Nebraska coach Scott Frost. So Frosty lives in a really cool and nice area in Lincoln. Frosty's renovating his home. And this happened between 5:30 Friday and 6 Sunday. The items you're probably well aware of, but just for clarity's sake, let us tell you what is out there. Thieves took 2 Nebraska National Championship rings, 10 Oregon Championship rings, 2 Central Florida Championship rings, 5 pairs of Air Jordan shoes from Frost's tenure at Oregon, and a Nintendo Wii. Jerry Roeder, she's the Lincoln Police Department Lieutenant Captain, spoke with KFOR News this morning. A couple of thoughts from her with the rundown in the police report this morning.
Entry was gained to the garage through possibly an unlocked walk-in door. Once inside the garage, collectible items were stolen that had been stored there. Those items include 5 pair of Oregon Ducks Air Jordan shoes, 2 Nebraska championship rings, 10 Oregon championship rings, and 2 University of Central Florida championship rings. Also, a black Wii was stolen in the burglary.
Okay. So let's do the math here. You have a high-profile dude that bought a really nice home that is being renovated. You have a new young family that since December has been a whirlwind. I've never coached, but just knowing the industry a little bit and the amount of work it takes for husband, wife, family to be all good with each other, this ain't awesome. Okay, you're relocating. He's been working his butt off. He's also very caring and cognizant to be a good husband and a good father. But there are strains and time constraints, especially if you're trying to get this thing started, kick-started right. So on top of that, you're jacking with a renovation. Not a build, but a renovation. And some a-hole or a group of a-holes say, let's go see and raid a house under renovation with construction stuff likely outside during said renovation process. Let's go see what we can scavenger. I demand frontier justice. What is frontier justice? Consecutive minutes in the Oklahoma drill with Coach Frost to the perpetrators. Will they be found? Yes. But this is no different than what happened to poor Fultz's family while they're at the funeral. And some meth freak, a car full of Jesse Pinkmans, raiding their house. Because then you're gone. I don't know that many folks knew that Coach Frost was going to be gone. All that said, this is horrible. This is awful. And it's just items. But whether you're moved in there or not, you feel violated if somebody rips off your crap. And this is stuff homeboy's earned and bled for. And he's a competitor. So on top of him telling you scoreboard once he beats you, this is mementos that you can show your kid. This is stuff, they're keepsakes. You've earned them. And you can't really, you can put a money value on it. You can put a money value on the helmet stake, and you can put a money value on your Central Florida championship rings, but those are memories. And that is part of the best turnaround in college football history, arguably, that got the payoff. All the stuff you had to go through as a transfer back to Nebraska, and you have the ability to win 2 championships. And then all the stuff where you cut your teeth at Oregon. 10 rings, and Uncle Phil probably had those Air Jordans handmade for you, all 5 pair, in Oregon colors. I mean, that's the other part, too, is these clowns ripped off the keypad to his gun safe. So they're probably looking for as much crap, may or may not have known whose house it is. Maybe they did. I don't know. But to me, I'm going a group of addicted, I don't know how big the number is, but someone's obviously looking for money to hawk so they can get their score. 2, maybe the game of telephone happened with contractor, subcontractor, guess whose house we're working on, few beers later. Hey, let's go grab some stuff. Good luck reselling. You see some Oregon Duck Air Jordans on eBay or on some sneakerhead site. You can't resell this. Hey, do you want to buy a Frost title ring? No, you're a dead man. So this was, he'll get over this. But from a family standpoint, you feel just like dirty, violated. He doesn't need it. He doesn't need it. Nobody needs it, but he doesn't need it. This close to camp, when he's trying to take a few last minutes of family and breather time, as he's been killing it, burning both candles, trying to leave a program as champions and undefeated like he did with Central Florida, and then take over and infuse and install culture. He's got a bunch of good dudes working for him and with him. But this is awful. And it's got to sour what's been, I would hope, for him. On top of the pressure, on top of the fishbowl, it's just got to make that fishbowl even smaller. If you're him and the family that are super private people. And I hope they find these clowns, and I hope there's True Detective, right? Remember the show? Year one. I didn't go past year two, but year one. And Rusty's character, like, went into a cameraless room with a couple of perpetrators. And he can either do 6 months in county, or we can have it out right here. And he put on some big old Hulk gloves that Uncle Andy owns and just went to town. Just beat the hell out of the guy. That's probably not legal, but it fits here. Brian's on the line here. Brian, thanks for calling. Go ahead.
How's it going, Chris?
Good, man. What do you know?
I got two things. I think we should legalize human sacrifice once we find these people. And we should sacrifice them before the first Husker game.
So you're going to start a trend.
Well, I'm trying, okay? I'm trying. And secondly, if that doesn't go through, I say we get these three characters.
Do you know it's three, or are you guessing it's three?
It's usually three. It comes in threes, man.
Okay.
Two, three, whatever.
I got to ixnay your human sacrifice thing.
Okay.
Because knowing some fan bases, it'd become a reality. And two, you know what? Frontier Justice, give me 10 minutes of Oklahoma drill where he can just lay them out.
That's what I was thinking. Like, put these people in tutus and send them against the defense and just let the defense have their way. Like, give them a football. Say, here you go, boys, tackling drill.
Little Johnny Knoxville kickoff return with no blockers?
Yep.
All right. Brian, good stuff. Appreciate it.
See you later.
Yeah. Okay. So the human sacrifice thing may, because here's the other side of it. Like, Frost he's a pretty caring dude. He has a pretty strong faith. So as pissed as he is about this, there's probably a side of forgiveness to him, especially if it turns out to be some folks that are addicted. Because around town and around different communities, you have yahoos that go rob copper, okay? As crazy as you thought the Seinfeld episode was with Kramer and Newman just drinking glass soda cans to take him to Vermont for recycling money, it pays less per pound than copper, okay? So you just have folks that are looking for something to shoot up or smoke or whatever, and they just go scavenge. That's what it is. Danny, where were you between 5:30 and 6 this weekend?
Was it Sunday, 5:30 and 6
Between 5:30 Friday and Sunday at 6.
Ooh, okay.
you were looking at a new apartment and leasing.
Yeah, there you go. No, actually, yeah, during the day Saturday, I was getting that finished up. Then I had a wedding on Saturday.
How was that?
There. It was good. Yeah,
who got married?
It was one of our fraternity buddies, so we had a bunch of us go there, so that was a crapshoot, but no, it was a good time. It was awesome. But so, yeah, I have an alibi, though. How about yourself?
Golfed Saturday, Sunday. I was in bed by 10 Saturday night. Okay. I was grilling last night.
Gotcha. I think not like...
I'm a helpless old man by now. You know that with me and my sleep pattern.
One thing that sticks out to me about this whole thing, obviously a terrible situation, not really funny to joke about at all.
I'm not joking. I'm just...
No. What I'm going to say is just like the one interesting item is that Nintendo Wii.
Right. And...
That's just so out of left field.
No, I mean, we still have a Wii, but once Carson whooped my butt in tennis and golf.
Right, I think everyone just kind of stopped playing.
I played it because I mean, the 4-year-old nephew or my own son was smoking me. I was like, I can't handle this. He's going to play some NBA Jam. See how you handle that.
There you go.
Boom shakalaka. No, the Wii's kind of funny.
Yeah. I thought that was like just out of left.
And you know what's so underrated about the Wii? Is it's been pretty money from a Netflix standpoint. Like before you get the Blu-ray back in the day, the Wii worked. Mm-hmm. And it was good from a wireless standpoint.
Yeah.
So that's,
I'll still play it from time to time when I go back home.
Do you do the golf or what?
I just do like the original game that comes with the Wii Sports. That was the best one in my opinion.
Bowling?
So yeah, baseball and tennis were the big ones. But yeah, bowling too. So
baseball was good.
Yeah, I love that.
The Wii was fun.
Mm-hmm.
And now somebody has Scott Frost's Wii set up. Yeah, you sneak that in. Jordan's helmet, rings.
Oh, yeah, I got this Wii.
Gun safe, keypad. Nintendo Wii. Good for him. Madonna Proactive, 56th and Pine Lake is where you need to be. Schedule a tour today. Madonna Proactive, 402-420-0000. MadonnaProactive.org. When it comes to getting into fall shape, game day shape, we're talking three pools. We're talking cardio equipment. We're talking hammer strength machines. We're talking yoga studios. We're talking TRX. And 130 classes offered each week. Make your membership happen now with Madonna Proactive, 56th and Pine Lake, MadonnaProactive.org. Get your tour scheduled, 402-420-0000.
Miss us?
Come here, brother. Give me a hug. Bring it in for the real thing.
We're on call for you. Catch the podcast at HailVarsity.com, the ESPN Lincoln app, or download them on iTunes.
Saddle up, partner.
Back to Hail Varsity Radio.
Less than an hour away, it's a Mondays with Charlie, Mr. Blackshirt, Charlie McBride. Excited to talk with him. On the horn now, 41 years of incredible coverage and excellence, historian, author, Hall of Famer, Mike Babcock with us, starting season 41 at MD Babs on Twitter with Hail Varsity. Babbers, how are you, sir?
Hey, I'm doing great, Smitty. I think I saw, you probably saw too, the release from Sports Information that apparently not all the rings were stolen as they went through stuff.
Okay.
Scott said that... they were still going through things, but they did find some of the rings, and the initial value placed on the items stolen was higher than what actually they determined. But
thank you for that, because right now, as I check the iPad and phone for updates, I have the spinning wheel of death going on because somebody didn't put a quarter or two, and I'm not blaming you, Danny. I mean, I need to start doing it too, but put a quarter into the Wi-Fi here. But thanks for thank you for that. But the point of it is, and this is brutal. I mean, you're trying to get settled. You're trying to transition in. You've got a lot of things you want to do as a coach. New family. I mean, the transition. And I know you weren't living there, but it's still a break in where someone just went through your stuff, and that sucks. That's awful to deal with.
Yeah, that doesn't speak well for the community at all. And all the excitement that surrounded his arrival. And then he gets his family here, and they go through this. So it's really an unfortunate situation, I think. But he's a strong individual, so mm-hmm. Obviously they'll work their way through it. But here it is, the practice is going to start, and gosh, there's just you can't imagine the number of things that. Are on his mind.
Oh, sure.
To deal with all this stuff.
And then there's this.
Yeah.
Mike, let's talk football. And how do you think Coach will go about this quarterback battle that he doesn't want to be a distraction? Coach Verduzco is going to be very involved and very, very talented at helping determine things. And ultimately the players will make their case on the field and with the quarterback coaching test, all that said. But do you think this will be handled about as smoothly as you can? Because I look at this quarterback battle locally, and then I think of Saban, what he's got to juggle down there at Bama, because you got two really good options. And I think Nebraska has, while unproven, really good guys in the room to pick and go with. to fit this offense.
Yeah, well, and obviously that's where everybody, the excitement, you know, focuses on who's going to be the quarterback and so forth. Here's the thing that I don't have a real good sense of, and maybe I haven't seen all the indications of it, but I kind of wonder what sort of access media is going to have once practice begins. I mean, do you have a good sense of that? Because my sort of off-the-wall feeling is that it'll be much more restricted than it has been to this point.
I think there's going to be some post-practices that are available. I don't know how much open practice we'll have that we've got. You know, you'll get to go watch on a Saturday morning, per se. I don't know. I'm just glad I get to go to practices now. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
The post-practices.
Yeah. Well, I think, again, it's just my sense, but, you know, I think Scott's pretty going to play it pretty close to the vest once the season begins. I just think that's the way he approaches things. And so that's, you know, that's going to affect a little bit how much discussion. Well, there'll be a lot of discussion, you know, opinions and so forth on who the quarterback's going to be, but if we don't have that kind of access to go in and watch practice that we had a year ago or whatever, I don't really know what sort of reasonable judgments can be made. I mean, you're gonna be basically working with what you're told by the by Scott or Verduzco, and that could be fairly limited at that point. But you know, he indicated he didn't want it to be a distraction to the team, and I think I understand that. But it's a little bit different with the team, right? I mean, you're a player, you're trying to earn your spot, so it's a little bit, that's kind of a secondary consideration, I guess, the quarterback competition, because you want to prove yourself, and so that'll affect it within the team, I think.
Babers, how big a jump can the D-line make? I mean, I know they're going 3-4, but they can be 4-3. They're going to be very adaptable. And there's a lot of guys that have played some football. And I'm thinking Mick and Carlos have played quite a bit of football. Same with Freedom, obviously. Then you've got some other guys that have seen some time. Stilley saw moments last year. And then you've got some younger pups and other guys that are juniors in the program. And Peyton Newell, that's a senior. What type of jump can the D-line make with Dawson and this style this year? What type of strength can they become?
Well, I think they can become a strength. You know, with the approach, it's a little bit different than what well, a little bit different. It's significantly different than what Bob Diaco did with that. The aggressiveness and, you know, get after people, and if you make a mistake. But you're trying, you're going full speed and you're getting after things, that's not you're not going to be penalized for that. So I think that there's a kind of liberation there on the defense that's going to allow these guys to use their ability. And I think there's some pretty athletic guys there. I think you can see a significant jump in the way they play. Just because of that, just because of the attitude, you know, go full speed, go after them. And guys like to do that. And if you're going full speed and you're going after them, you're trying to make a play. You know, that's what we want. I think the liberation of that speaks well for what Nebraska will have.
Mike Babcock's with us, HaleVarsity.com and magazine at MD Babs on Twitter's where you follow and find and read Mike, 41 years and counting of great coverage with Nebraska football. Mike, what are you excited about this year? I mean, just you've seen a lot of years. You've covered a lot of great teams. You've covered some under-the-radar teams, and you've covered some disappointing teams based on expectations or preseason rankings. Do you think this team is – what do you think their strength can be?
Well, I just a change in attitude, you know. That's the thing that the fans have been excited about Scott Frost coming back, but I think the players the same way. You know, I think that anytime you have a new staff, you know, there's probably going to be some uncertainty, but there's also the potential for some excitement. I think because of what Central Florida did last year, And, you know, again, the entire staff is here. That's exciting for the players, and there's a lot of enthusiasm there, and that's the thing I think is going to characterize this team is the enthusiasm. And you know, in the spring, Scott said that, you know, guys were buying in quickly and that it was a little bit different here than it was his first year at Central Florida when there was some skepticism and uncertainty about what things, you know, the coaches were asking him to do. There was an immediate buy-in here. So, you know, that's the thing that I appreciate, I guess, going into this season. And I'd like to get the season going like everybody else would, yeah. Just from the standpoint of how excited the fans are. And let's see if this team, I think outside the program, people probably are underestimating what this team can be. But as I said before, the key for me is not so much wins and losses as it is when opponents leave the field, they know they've been in a game. You know, that the Nebraska gives it everything, and you know that you've been in a game when you play Nebraska. And that's, to me, that's Husker football.
You are nailing it. That's absolutely what it is. You don't necessarily win them all, but you know you were in a fight. And getting back to that is easier said than done, but I think with the right attitude and push, absolutely. I mean, that's a monster building block. That's a foundation. That's a cultural foundation to move it forward. A guy that walked off the field way more times as a winner than a guy that didn't get the victory and is going to be part of the Nebraska Football Hall of Fame. We talked to Mike Rucker on Friday, but Mike, you covered Mike Rucker during his time at Nebraska, and it was a unique situation with who Ruck was following and then who followed Ruck, just how stacked they were at rush end. What are your recollections about number 84?
Well, I don't know the time frame of when you're eligible for this, but it, you know, Mike Rucker is one of those guys that, you know, it should be a no-brainer in the Husker Hall of Fame because he was an outstanding player, and you know, that's where we've been talking about, you know, what you want Nebraska to get back to. That's what you want Nebraska to get back to, is a Mike Rucker type guy. You know, there was a lot of those guys, and like you said, it's sometimes it's difficult because of the guys you follow or the guys that follow you, the recognition that they get. But he was a real deal, and that's what the current team needs to aspire to, that kind of attitude, the Mike Rucker way of doing things. And, you know, I think that's what Scott Frost has brought with him, and I think that's what we're going to see.
Babers, what you working on, man? I got about 45 seconds. What's coming up from you with Hail Varsity, bud?
Well, you know, I'm working on, you know, the standard stuff, the Legends of the Fall and so forth. I'm going to have a volleyball player this next time. But long range, I'm working on a story about a boxing match between Jim Karstens and Bob Jones. in January 1971 in the field house. It was a sort of a bring the team together type thing, and it's really kind of interesting to go through that. We've got some video and some pictures from it. So it was one of the things that Devaney said really brought that team together, that national championship team. So interesting kind of a thing long term.
I like that. That sounds good. Sometimes a fight ain't bad.
Yeah. And they were really good friends. Karsten and Jones were really good friends. Jones was a quarterback. Karsten was a linebacker. Called him Irv. he had started as a. I said linebacker, fullback. But they were good friends.
Can't wait to see it. Mike Babcock, yeah. HaleVarsity.com and magazine at MD Babs. Babbers, we'll talk soon. Thanks so much.
Hey, great talking to you, Smitty.
There he is, Mike Babcock with Hail Varsity.
And now, back to Hail Varsity Radio.
Great to have you back on a Monday. It's Hail Varsity presented by the Nebraska Lottery. Chris Schmidt, the Pride of Chicago, Danny Burke. Bill Bender, Sporting News coming up at 5:25. Mr. Blackshirt, Charlie McBride. I want to remind you about your friends at Rockbrook Camera. When you think of Hail Varsity, you think of the insanely awesome photos in Hail Varsity on .com and in the magazine. And when it comes to Hail Varsity's photography needs, the trust goes to Rockbrook Camera. And the choices from Sony, the mirrorless imaging technology, and it achieves a new dimension in photographic speed and performance. And they're a fraction of size and weight of other digital SLR cameras. So if you're thinking about getting into advanced photography, starting with photography, or just kind of creeping up the equipment needs, Rockbrook Camera, there for you. RockbrookCamera.com with three area locations. So here is Frost's statement. The incident that occurred in our home is obviously very disappointing, discouraging. All of our belongings were gone through, and it will take some time to determine exactly what is missing and the value of those items. I'd like to clarify that some items initially reported as missing have been found, including some of the rings listed on the police report. Also, the value of what was believed to be actually missing is lower than was publicly reported. Someone still hosed you. And I, again, 15 minutes. We're gonna creep up the time. 15 minutes of Oklahoma drill, one-on-one, Frosty versus the assailants. I'm not joking. I think that would be all right. He can still hit. That's what I'm thinking. 466-377-6800-825-5865 can tap the line. Chilling Bridge Court can tap house. Let's that happen for you at Schmidt underscore radio. Find and follow on Twitter at Danny Burke 5 on Twitter. So let us get into freshmen that could make, will make, should make an impact on Nebraska football. Nebraska freshmen that will, can, and should make an impact. And let's stay with the offensive side of the ball. Now, before you dial up or tweet, quarterbacks are off the table. Is that no fun? I'm sorry. But here's what we got for the Honda of Lincoln fan poll. The true freshman, non-quarterback, that will have the biggest impact on Nebraska's offense this season. Here are your votes. Miles Jones, Cam Jurgens. I'm going to do it. Crime Dog McGriff, Will Farniok. Farniok's talented and mature and wicked smart. So I don't know that they want to go freshman quarterback, freshman center, or freshman guard. Obviously, you have two senior guards. Farniak's a solid name. Cam Jurgens is a freak athlete. They have lots of freak athletes at that spot, at tight end. McGriff is big. He's a big dude. He's a big dude that you can throw the ball to in the slot or on the outside. I'm going to be trendy. It's not for laziness. But Miles Jones. Yep. Miles Jones is going to be your option, your freshman, that can run the football, can catch the football. And I know you've got Spielman, and I know you've got Lindsey. But three dudes like that on the field at the same time, one that can run it, that's my guy. I think he'll have, hell, give me 200 touches. Maybe I'm aggressive there, but he'll have 200 touches. Maybe not. But I'm going to say, give him 200 touches, and that's why he'll get my vote. He's a dude that can catch it, can run it, and if he can be like Killens, bring it. He's a game changer for you offensively and probably a different back than Bell. Bell's the guy that can kind of marry that Osborne, Oregon tempo and power thing. Well, Miles Jones, he's a guy that can just get outside, catch it, and run it, can be just deadly in the zone read. And just think about all the duck back positions you've seen work at Oregon or at Central Florida. They're the guys that pop one. They're the guys that'll catch it or take the handoff for the zone read and just make a cut, make a dude miss, and then gone. That's what you got to have in this offense, because it's not just about wearing down people. It's also about exploiting and exploding with the big play. They are great at the big play in this offense. For it to be working, for it to be gashing a defense. And success shows that you hit a big play in a drive, you're going to score. You're going to score something against a defense. It's not just about flipping field position, but you're more likely to score. Then you got the defense freaking out, trying to tackle in space. You got the defense trying to be sound and not play fast because they're worried. Puts a lot of stress on you.
Yeah, I think that's a pretty obvious choice. I was
not trying to be weak and obvious today, but that's the guy.
It's just the right answer. Right? I mean, that's what it, that's what
yes, that's just the right
answer.
That's
what most people are thinking too. It's hard not to think that in Frost's offense, him coming in mainly as an athlete. Like I said, I think 200. That does. I think it comes off a little aggressive, but I like the optimism.
But yeah, you had 12 games divided by 200. Let's do that math. That's a lot of touches. I'm crazy there. That's coffee in my glass today, I promise you.
Yeah, I think he's
started on
he's
the goose
for
yet.
It, though. But, yeah, no, I guess I'm more interested.
That's super high with this stable of backs.
Yeah, that's
but
what
I think
that's ridiculous.
But I think they'll eventually settle on who they like.
Yeah, absolutely. I just don't know if he'll get there immediately with those 200 touches.
And he may redshirt, too. 200 touches in four games, yeah. That's a lot.
Yeah, that sure is. So I guess my
people are rolling their eyes at me now. I'm so sorry. I should just kept my mouth shut.
You just had to say it out loud a little bit more and just think about it.
You talk hot take Monday. Forgive. That's 16 touches a game, 8 catches, 8 carries.
Coming out of
12 and 4. 12 carries, 4 catches. Whatever, man.
All right. Well,
they play young guys, Danny.
There you go. That's what you got to root for here. But let me ask you this. And who's your next guy in line? Since we both agree on that,
it's McGriff. It's McGriff.
You think it's McGriff?
Yeah.
Okay.
Why are you going Farniak or are you going Juergens?
See, I look at it and I think Juergens maybe just because I feel like the tight end isn't solidified. You know, it's kind of
no, but they've got Austin.
Open.
They've got Legrone.
Yeah,
they've got Stoll.
Sure.
Who else am I missing? We got three.
Yeah. I just don't think there's one guy you can nail.
And the
down
other
to
part
right
of that, too, is
like
Juergens is coming off injury.
Yeah. But, yeah, otherwise it would be – I think it's Farniak, though. I think the O-line has a lot to prove this year,
sure.
And that's also a little bit of –
I mean, Farniak's a good enough dude to get in there.
Right.
But, I mean, I think of the last – was it Jake Young that played as a freshman at center?
Yeah, that might be.
That's going back late 80s, bless his soul. I mean, he was great. Was Dominic Raiola, was he a redshirt freshman that got some time? And was he a sophomore 99, junior in 2000? He left? Yeah, he left in 2000. So I don't think Dom even got in. He may have gotten in on some rotational stuff as a sophomore.
Yeah. The only reason I'm hesitant with McGriff is kind of like what you said with the touches. There's just so many options back there. But then you would be like, what about Miles Jones?
They'll all play. They'll all play, but how many go beyond the four of the red shirt?
Yeah.
You're trying to organize that right now. Coming up, we'll talk with Charlie McBride. Mondays with Charlie. Bill Bender, sporting news coming up next hour. Hail Varsity continues, presented by the Nebraska Lottery.
And now,
back to Hail Varsity Radio.
Pretty fired up, junior starting tackle football. Lincoln Youth Football.
You guys doing your own Oklahoma drill in the back?
See, I don't know what's going to happen, but you've got the firefighters, Neiman and Sons, Leon's Executive Club. We're going to do a Lincoln Youth Football like weekly update. We're going to do a Monday like standings report.
You going to set the lines for me?
Dude, we joke about that in flag football. There's some crazy dude out there that does it for high school football. I will not step into this right now.
Come on, you got the scouting report down?
Yeah.
You know everything. You're the man. Come on.
Yeah, number 8, the quarterback on the D team. Mom said he still pees the bed. The defensive end knows it's all over.
I just see you walking around the bleachers just collecting cash from the other dad.
My God. So you got firefighters, Neiman and Sons, Leon's. I played for Leon's. Executive Club, Manzito. That's who Junior's playing for. Police, Elks, Union Bank. We're going to have a moment of silence for No More Moose Lodge. And a free agent deal. And the player still to be named later. We were shuffled over there. But Elks always threw the ball. We were kind of envious. Leon's just had insane running backs that murdered you. Neiman and Sons, those folks are awesome. Neiman and Sons Roofing. Firefighters. Firefighters and exec clubs always had, like, the eighth grader that had a goatee in a minivan. They were just big dudes. Mm-hmm. Police and so it's fun. I can't wait.
So are those the people, like, are those who sponsor the teams?
Yes,
or?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah.
Gotcha.
So Junior's trying to hit me up for, God, he wants these Adidas Boost cleats. Because, well, Dad, they'll make me. I haven't seen you play a down a tackle football, son.
He's got to earn them.
There's no four star. We're going to go to see Jay Moore. We're going to see Jay Bird over in the locker room.
There you go.
But there's going to be a price cap here on what he's going to spend. I don't know what he wants to play. I just know he wants to hit people. Because he's got a little angry to him. He's got a little anger to him like his mother.
Is he speedy?
Straight line, yeah.
Okay.
He's got my feet to left when it comes to side-to-side lateral quickness.
Mm.
But straight line, yeah. I don't know where the hell he got it. I should probably do a paternity test.
What about hands? Can he catch?
Yeah, during the halftime of a lot of games when it was road football Saturdays, the 101 was throw ribs on the smoker, throw wings on the smoker, kickoffs 2:30 or 3:30 or 6. Have folks over, get the smoker going, and then halftime when it's going horribly wrong,
someone's on a beer run.
No, we'd throw fade routes.
Okay.
We were, you know, we lived in a pious neighborhood, so good athletes around, and so I wasn't going to run. I'm a fat old man, so I'm just throwing the old lob, the old jump pass, and it wasn't a super long runway, but it was a good side yard at the time. You just throw lobs. It was fun.
You strike me as one of the dads who would invent the way of playing catch with their kids or something in the laziest way. So you get it like on the fish pole and you put it on the hook and you just throw it out there for them to get.
No.
Have you seen those videos though?
I would draw like plays in the dirt. Someone would snap it to me. It was fine. I mean, I'm not sitting in the lawn chair. I'm not making the dog bring the ball back. I am a little lazy, but I still gave him good effort. Wow.
Okay. I'm not Coney lazy. I just think you're inventive. Let's put it that way. There you go.
A way to cover that one. Inventive?
Yeah.
I'd put my beer down to play catch with him. I would. Coach McBride's on the way next hour.
Welcome to Hail Varsity Radio, the voice of Husker Nation. Insight, opinion, expertise, with the biggest and best names talking Nebraska across the state. Join the show on Twitter at Hail Varsity and at Schmitz_radio. Call in at 402-466-ESPN or 1-800-825-5865. Here's Chris Schmitz.
Great to have you back. Hour two, it's Hail Varsity Radio, presented by the Nebraska Lottery. Chris Schmidt, the pride of Chicago, Daddy Burke, is moving apartments tomorrow. He will take help. Would you? If, like, a listener said, hey, Danny, can I help you move? Hey, thanks, or creepy?
I'd be like, hey, thanks.
Okay. No, I'm just asking.
Yeah. Hey, I'll take all the help I can get. What do you think? What would you think of it?
I've paid people to move the last three times because I'm a wuss. I just hate it. I've moved like in and out of state a couple of times, and it's brutal.
Yeah, not fun.
Moving's evil. It just is. So just here, handle it, move forward.
Yeah.
That's the way to do it. Because if I'm moving with my wife, dude, I'm doing it wrong.
Oh, yeah. There's no right
way. It doesn't go there.
And
what are you doing? It's not there. So... I'm going to go play in the street while you direct traffic, honey.
You got to supervise.
Let's talk with Mr. Blackshirt, Charlie McBride. Mondays with Charlie. Coach, how we doing?
Good. Just having a great time. I have all my kids. This is the last shift. It ends Friday.
Hey, so is it Grandpa and Dad, that it's barbecue on you for the last week?
Oh, please.
Or not. Are they bringing the food?
Well, all I know is my wife spoils them unbelievably, and I have to cringe a little bit once in a while. But what I do is if they're coming here to visit, they're cooking.
Okay. Okay, so you just put your feet up and you provide the pillows.
I don't provide. Yep, I provide the food, and they can eat it how they want. We cook it in the oven. We cook it on the stove. Cook it on the grill. Whatever you want.
All right. Well, has the menu been pretty good this week for you?
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah.
That's good.
Doing good.
Coach McBride's with us, Hail Varsity Radio. Coach, before we get into some thoughts on as camp gets underway on Thursday, or media meeting on Thursday, they'll start practicing this week. Coach Frost had somebody break into his house that's being renovated, and they're still kind of taking inventory on what was taken, what's available. Even though they're not living there, that's got to be a betrayal, a horrible situation. And is that something you've had to deal with, or is that something you've had friends deal with? I mean, what's that like? You guys are in such a public place from what you do from a job standpoint, and all you want is to do your work, be with your family, and you like the cheers, but there's also the privacy aspect that folks need to respect too.
Well, Debbie and I were robbed out in Fountain Hills, Arizona, from every piece of jewelry we had, including rings and watches, all the rings. And, you know, it ended up being a lot. And it was interesting that they tore up, actually, I had a safe bolted to the floor. They tore it out of the floor.
Jeez.
And broke into it. You know, people think that these things are guaranteed. The only thing they're guaranteed against is fire. They aren't guaranteed. You can't break into them. You can. But, you know, you learn the hard way. And so as time went on, a fence tried to sell this jeweler, or a guy that was in the gold and silver business, and he ended up buying the stuff because he saw my name on it, and he just knew that it was something's wrong, so he bought it.
Oh.
And he didn't know who I was, but it was all name on almost all the rings. Mm-hmm. And so he called me, and I ended up getting them back, a long story, but you know, Debbie never got anything back. She lost everything, all her grandmother's and great-grandmother's jewelry that had been passed down, and there's no price on those. They're all heirlooms, and, you know, and that put it pretty hard, because every time she went near a jewelry store or around any kind of jewelry, you know, she kind of got teary, and right now she won't buy anything, you know, any kind of jewelry. She'll fake stuff maybe, but not really. So, you know, I've been through that trip, and then, you know, you got to sit there, and all of a sudden your insurance companies that you were so friendly when they signed you become, you know, you're going to run into a person that's trying to save money for the company. So, you know, it ends up being a little bit of a, you know, a hassle.
It's a wear out, man. And you're talking about the first, the business side of folks that are supposed to protect you. Secondly, the emotional damage done to it, because it's stuff that's near and dear to you. Did you ever find out who it was, or did you just move on?
No, the guy is the guy was doing business for a long time, and they called him the Rock Burglar. And what his normal way was to it over in Paradise Valley, he was to throw a rock through a bay window. If the alarm didn't go off, he was in. And if it did, he just left right away. And so ours was different. The lock was definitely messed with.
Mm-hmm.
And so that was a different. But they caught him going into a place eventually. And yeah, I think he's in jail for a while, because he did, they said, the easy over $10 million worth of robberies.
Jeez.
And but he lived in a trailer, and, you know, he was an ex-con. So, you know, he's cooling off, but nobody got their stuff back.
Jeez. Charlie McBride's with us, Mondays with Charlie, Hail Varsity Radio. Man, thanks for sharing, and I'm sorry that you had to go through this.
Well, it's just part of the deal, I guess. You know, it was really hard, especially on my wife. And then, you know, I did get the rings back eventually, but the guy paid like $11,000 for them. And, you know, I thought, well, I'm going to have to pay him back. He said, no. He said, I'm a victim, too. So, you know, it just was kind of a bad deal. But all the watches, never saw them again, you know. And I think there was a bunch of them. And I had some that my son had given me, you know, for Christmas a couple years ago, you know, and stuff like that. But that's just the way. He didn't take any paper.
Yeah.
Didn't take anything. Left all the stuff in the safe and took the safe outside, put it in the corner. We didn't even know it was there for 2 days.
Jeez.
So... So you got to learn the hard way. They case the house, maybe. They do all kinds of things. And we were gone for 2 days.
Jeez.
Down to Tucson. And so they had a way of finding out that we weren't home.
Well, and you just wonder how things will shake out with Coach and the privacy that they got to want to have here. And it's impossible as the head coach here with the fishbowl that is Nebraska. What do you think is going through Scotty's mind right now? And then, oh, by the way, the camp kicks off, season kicks off here end of this week. From a prep standpoint, you've got a quarterback decision to make. You got a defensive adjustment to make and an offensive adjustment to make. And you got the lines of scrimmage that need to be better.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's all, you know, it sounds stupid, but that's the fun part of it. You know, the players are working their tails off to get their positions, and you're sitting there watching them, you know, how hard they got better from last year, and maybe they're a backup player, and they're trying to get to be a starter, and, you know, they're really tearing into things. And so, you know, it was a great time other than spring practice, it was a good time for teaching. And also during that session, you'd find out how many players thought about the things that were taught to them last year, and now they're executing them. And so there's a lot of things that goes into it besides the preparation by the coaches. It turns out that, you know, the time, that's the time of year when, you know, you find out what kids are made of.
Mm-hmm. Charlie McBride's with us here, Hale Varsity Radio, Mondays with Charlie. And Coach is getting ready for the season to get rolling here. Coach, you mentioned the teaching that goes on and what kind of progress have guys made. I'm anxious to hear what your thoughts are from a defensive line standpoint. Mm-hmm. What type of jump can they make? Because you've got Mick that's now a senior. You got the Davis twins that have seen time. You've got Stilly. Freedom's a senior. You've got a lot of depth. And you've got a lot of guys that have played some snaps. Mm-hmm. And you've got guys that need to play more snaps. How good do you feel about this front three or front four?
Well, I think you got to give them a break. I mean, last year they were just pushing.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they were just lined up, head up, and just pushing upfield. I think you got to do some things that activate them, you know, to give them a chance. You know, if you're going 3-on-5, for example, and the dens are dropping, or we're 4-on-5, somebody's going to have problems. And, you know, depending on who you're playing or what the schemes are, you have different ones every week. But, you know, I think that if these guys, you know, to penetrate sometimes and do some things that are, make them active and make the, you know, if Stoltenberg hit the crease or just was able to just rip through there, he'd cause a wreck. I mean, he'd cause a lot of problems. And, you know, so I just my type of the game is let them have fun, and just to sit there and beat on some guy the whole game. And, you know, and I know for a fact that there's, you know, that happened, and, you know, from the horse's mouth kind of. And
sure.
It was a kind of a sad thing that they didn't get a chance to really you know, play blocking schemes and read stuff on the move and doing things which are, you know, the fun of the game. That's how you really learn to play. That's how you get to the next level.
Coach, when a new coaching staff comes into a program, and I know it may be a little bit different with Frost, I mean, you mostly hear about the positives, about what they can do, their expectations and whatnot, and Now that we're coming down toward the beginning of the season, fall's coming up, what are some of the difficulties and struggles a lot of new coaching staffs have that the public, you know, typically wouldn't see or think about?
Well, they've got to know the players a little bit, and I say that meaning that they, you know, they've spent a lot of time with them. But to have them on the field for preparation for a season and a game, their heart's pumping different kind of blood now. I mean, and they're going to rev up, and some guys may surprise the coaches. I think one of the things, of course, is always when you're changing is the intelligence part of it. And sure enough, with the depth that they have and things like that, you know, they can rotate guys. And I really believe that if you get into a contest where they're passing the ball a lot or doing something, you just can't have three guys standing around in there and then substitute one guy or something. You know, let them learn how to play as a team and rotate them around so they get a chance to play. And even if you get a chance in the game to see a guy, maybe a third-team player that looks like he might be something, if, you know, maybe he's redshirted or he's sat out a year, and find out what all of a sudden you're going to find out, hey, this kid plays like heck in a game. You know, maybe we're not, you know, maybe we're not evaluating him correctly, because a lot of kids, for some reason, you know, are there in practice, working hard, doing everything, then they get in the game, then they turn into something special. Mm. And so it's, you know, it's kind of hard to figure out until they really get a chance to get some snaps.
Coach, I've got about a minute left, not long enough, but Mike Rucker's headed into the Hall of Fame. What do you think of Mike Rucker?
Well, I just think it's super. I mean, if there's one, you know, one kid that actually sacrificed but played actually more than, you know, starters did, he was a starter. He was a black shirt. We had three defensive ends and he was one of them, but he could play both sides. I mean, he was as valuable a player as we had, you know, on the defensive line and on the defense, because he could go in and, you know, for example, he could go in and give Wistrom a break for a while, and then he'd go over to the other side and give that guy a break for a while, and they'd kind of rotate around that way. And Mike, you know, got I think when they pros first came out to look at him, they thought, well, you know, maybe because he's not a starter, maybe he's not. But after you get a chance to talk to him and let him know what's really going on, then he became, you know, a valuable commodity, and he proved it. So, you know, I really am proud of him. He was one of those guys that just didn't say a whole lot and just played like heck.
That sounds about like Mike, and he was tremendous. Coach Charlie McBride, Mondays with Charlie. Coach, we'll talk to you next Monday, bud. Look forward to it. Thanks for a few minutes today.
Okay. Good. Talk to you later. Nice to be with you.
Hey, you're awesome, Coach. Take care. Okay. Appreciate it. Charlie McBride. It sounds like it's Hotel de McBride going there. And that was fun to hear from him. Coach was pretty good about sharing his experience about getting ripped off. That sucks. It's horrible. Bill Bender is not. He is phenomenal. College football writer. Sporting news. A lot of Big Ten thoughts. A lot of Frost talk with Bill Bender of the Sporting News. He'll join us next on Hail Varsity, presented by the Nebraska Lottery.
And now,
back to Hail Varsity Radio.
Back to it, Hail Varsity Radio, presented by the Nebraska Lottery. Excited to talk with the Sporting News' Bill Bender. You can find him and follow him on Twitter at BillBender92. Bill, how's it going, man?
Hey, I'm doing well, Chris. Thanks for having me on.
Appreciate the time. It was great to connect with you in Chicago. And I know you've been busy, man. You'll be off to Canton here towards the end of the week. You're getting ready for college football. Should be an exciting 2018. What's one or two storylines as camp gets rolling here end of the week for so many programs? What's one or two things you're interested in from a national perspective?
I'm going to eliminate Scott Frost. We'll talk about him for in a minute.
That's
obviously a huge one. Alabama quarterbacks, Tua and Jalen, I think that whole story is huge. Who are they going to start? How is he going to manage that quarterback situation? And then up in Big Ten country, as I was hinting at this last week, I mean, how do you get your champion through? I mean, the conference is so loaded, top to bottom. A lot of playoff contenders, but the champion hasn't made the playoff the last 2 years. I think those are the two things that really catch my eye going into the season.
Is there a solution other than a one-loss champion? Ohio State had their hiccup against Iowa City, and it wasn't a hiccup. It was a thrashing. Penn State's as good as anybody. They had two losses. Sparty's great, but they were still 10-3. Northwestern's knocked off people. I mentioned Iowa. Michigan's trying to find their footing. And Wisconsin had too many second-half turnovers against Ohio State, but they were a loaded team.
Yeah, I mean, there's no easy answer other than don't lose two games, because that seems to be the playoff committee's formula so far. I don't think that's fair, at least in the Big Ten East, where I think there are four teams that could contend for the playoff this year. And I mean, even if you're looking at the future of the West, I mean, what if Scott Frost has Nebraska up and running in 3 years and you're up against that and you have a two-loss team? And I think that's part of the reason why he's hinting at an 18 playoff. I think Harbaugh talked about a 16-team playoff. I don't think that's coming anytime soon. But I get where they're coming from with the 18 model, because when your conference is this loaded, there's less likely to be a team miss out that maybe should be in.
I think you're right. And the Big Ten said, look, there's not really been much talk on an eight-team expansion. The college football powers, the playoff committee hasn't really said that's the issue. And what's the soonest this happens if it does expand? What's your timetable?
I think the soonest it would happen would be when the current contract's up. So we're looking at the back end of the 2020s. And I don't know that it will. I mean, Bill Hancock, every time he's asked that question about expansion, he cuts it off so quick that it's not in their minds. And I always encourage people to remember that, I mean, the BCS started in 1998, and it took us 16 years to get to four. So it could take another 16 to get to eight. Could take longer. I mean, how long did it take before 98 to get to the BCS? Forever. So I would urge patience, because as you know, the college football, the NCAA, the big money brokers, they move a lot slower than Twitter does.
Yeah, they do. Bill Bender's with us, Sporting News, Hail Varsity Radio, and can find Bill on Twitter at BillBender92. What were your takeaways about Nebraska and Coach Frost from Chicago last week?
Oh, I was impressed. I mean, it's hard not to be, but you know, he's very direct, and I figured he was from listening to press conferences and being in on the teleconferences. But, you know, a very to-the-point kind of guy that wants to get Nebraska back to those 90s glories days that everybody likes to talk about. And that's not going to be easy. And I say that in, you know, the best way to do this is Jim Harbaugh and Scott Frost were both talking on the breakout sessions at the same time, and I couldn't help but think, I mean, Jim Harbaugh had Scott Frost crowd 3 years ago, same scenario going to Ann Arbor, and it's not easy. I mean, they'll always expect more. Your losses will weigh more than your wins, and you know, until they're up and really competing with Wisconsin, that's going to be the deal when the honeymoon ends.
Why do you think Nebraska, from a national perspective, will be able to make that turn and compete? I have my reasons covering the program for a long time. But if there are a couple of factors as to why Nebraska can, air quote, get back, why do you think?
I think the notion that they can't recruit is lazy. I think Scott Frost can recruit, and I think he will recruit well, and I think he's going to use that Florida connection to bring some guys up from there. You know, I think the one thing, I've repeated this about Scott Frost a few times, but when he took UCF up to Ann Arbor a few years ago, if you really go back and watch that game, they outplayed Michigan with a team that was nowhere near ready for that stage. And this was when they went, you know, 6-7 and got to a bowl game. I think that Nebraska will play a lot harder. I think having everybody on the same page matters. You know, you'll have to transition the offense. I like what he said about, you know, kind of combining what the Osborne offense of the 90s with what he was doing at Oregon. And if they do that in the Big Ten,
Yeah, they're going to win a lot of football games.
I think that combination could be big time. I also think in a league that has a lot of quarterbacks that have been really talented and programs that have done a really good job with not only recruiting but developing quarterbacks, I think Scott Frost doesn't need to give way to many people. And I know he's not been a head coach a long time, but he has worked with quarterbacks for quite a while. And I think that difference-making position is where Nebraska could be great again with what him and Coach Verduzco can do at quarterback. Do you feel the same way that Nebraska can have elite quarterback play in the Big Ten?
Well, that's what they'll need to find. And again, not to keep harping on the Michigan thing, but that's what Michigan's lacked with Harbaugh. They've lacked a quarterback, and they think they've got one finally with Shea Patterson. So I know, the quarterback situation with Nebraska is always fluid. Most, watched position in the state, I would say. And Scott Frost obviously played that very well and dealt with the expectations and pressure of that. So, yeah, and I think their offense will be a little bit different. And, they'll find out early. I know they play Colorado. That'll be a game, kind of a back-to-the-future type game for them. And then when they go to Ann Arbor on September 22nd, that's a fun game because I think they'll be playing with a ton of confidence then. And Michigan, if they beat Notre Dame, will be playing with a ton of confidence too.
Bill Bender's with his sporting news. Bill, you put together your top 40 college football players in 2018. I saw the list. Really thought it was well done. How close was Stanley Morgan to making the cut?
Oh, yeah. He's definitely one of those players that's in the neighborhood of that. It's hard making just 40. I mean, I could have probably made 140 and still left off some talented players. I think the story with this one is the defensive line. They're all over the place. I think there's 11 defensive linemen on this list. A lot of them future first rounders. I always tell people, we just talked about quarterback. The first two things I look at with most teams is, are they good at quarterback? And then how good is their defensive line? Because if you're deep on that end, you're going to be pretty good. And all you have to do is look at the top five and the top 10 for that to back that up, because those are the best defensive lines in college football.
Yeah. You have really talented starters in depth. Clemson's front line's nuts. Michigan's really, really good. Ohio State with their three line change, it feels like. And Bama doesn't hold second place to anybody, really, with what they've been able to reload with. Let's talk Michigan for a second. You mentioned Harbaugh and what the expectations are. We know the Michigan D's loaded. The offensive line has not been as good as Michigan needs it to be. What do you think they need out of their quarterback? What do they need out of Patterson?
Playmaking. They didn't have that at that position last year. I mean, they had 9 touchdowns and 10 interceptions, and they still won 8 games. So, I mean, when I look at that number, I'm surprised they've won 8 games. But, yeah, and then obviously the rivalry games are getting a lot of attention, but Jim Harbaugh's not on the hot seat. Jim Harbaugh's not going to the NFL. I think they just need to be better in rivalry games. If they beat Notre Dame, you watch this happen if they beat Notre Dame. I've been saying this all summer. If they beat Notre Dame, it's going to go from, is Jim Harbaugh on the hot seat, to is Michigan a national championship contender? That's just the knee-jerk reaction and the reality of coaching at that school.
That is likely. Has he... What have you kind of gleaned from him? Is he still enjoying his time in Ann Arbor, or is he feeling it?
No, I just think he is who he is. That's not an act. That's not an act what he's doing. He's just kind of different, and that's who he is. And, his players seem to respond to that. I guess that's all that matters. I mean, some coaches have a facade that they have in front of the media or a playbook that they use in front of the media and are very different behind closed doors. I think that's part of the reason I like Scott Frost, too, is I don't think he acts that much different behind closed doors than what we see, especially when you're hearing stories that, the players aren't swearing and or the coaches aren't swearing at the players. It's more of a teaching environment. And I think that's actually a good example, not just for Nebraska football, but, as a guy that has a 8-year-old son, I think that's a good example for kids, too.
You're headed up to the Hall of Fame game on Thursday. Going to check out Lamar Jackson, correct?
Yeah, I mean, I'm from Ohio, grew up here. My wife and I actually got married one exit down from the Hall of Fame. It's one of the coolest places in the world. It really is. And the Hall of Fame weekend, for me, I always get chills because I've had a chance to cover it and go a few times, and it's just kind of that unofficial now we're rolling. Now we have a live football game. Now we're honoring some of the legends of the past. I think it's great that Jerry Kramer's getting in, by the way. And it's going to be a fun weekend. So, you know, watch Lamar Jackson on Thursday night. I think that star that we saw in college football is going to translate into the next level.
I'm anxious to see him do his thing. He's so athletic. He's a good passer. Always questions about the athlete dual threat guy making the jump, but that's going to be more the norm than the exception, just the way kids are coming out of school now. NFL offenses are going to have to make things fit for them just because the supply of the Roethlisberger types are getting fewer and fewer to find.
Yeah, and you know, I mean, I think some of the questions he got during the draft process were ridiculous. You can either play quarterback or you can't, and he can. He clearly played it well at Louisville. I think Deshaun Watson played it well at Clemson. There were definitely some racial undertones to it, and I think Lamar Jackson's been able to rise above that. I remember sitting down with him last summer down at Louisville, and he said the thing that bothered him most was people kind of labeling him as a receiver. And, you know, what I see is just a kid that's been able to play. On the other side, too, the Bears got a pretty good young quarterback in Trubisky. And I would say this, for all the transfers that we have in college football, he's an example of a guy that waited his turn, made the most of it, and, you know, here he is starting for the Bears a couple years later.
Randy Moss, what do you remember about Randy? It's his weekend, him and many.
Oh, man, I'm a Packers fan, so I remember having nightmares. And I went to Ohio University, so he was at Marshall, so it was even more nightmares. Just a tremendously talented receiver. I mean, the straight line speed, you can go watch his highlight tape, and it goes on forever. I do remember the first Monday Nighter against the Packers where he absolutely destroyed them, and I said he's going to be a problem for years to come, and sure enough, he was. But I always tell people this. I didn't have a problem with him doing the fake moon thing in the playoff game because he can do whatever he wants when you're not stopping him, and they weren't stopping him that day.
Bill Bender, Sporting News, at BillBender92. Find and follow him on Twitter. Bill, we'll do this again. Great to get caught up. Thanks for the time today.
Oh, anytime. Thanks for having me on.
Good stuff from Bill Bender. A little Big Ten, a little Frost, a lot of football there. The Pride of Chicago, Danny Burke, will turn into Danny Casino, and he'll have a rundown of some NFL side plays. We'll get into that next on Hail Varsity.
And we're back.
Fellas, you think we could listen to the radio
on Hail Varsity Radio, presented by the Nebraska Lottery.
Yes! That's awesome!
Great to have you back on Monday. It's Hail Varsity Radio, presented by the Nebraska Lottery. Mitch Sherman, Rick Piso tomorrow. Danny Burke is in. Chris Schmidt, I want to remind you about Sauter Heyman. Rick and your friends at Sauter Heyman, Nebraska's exclusive dealer of pure-grown diamonds, 100% real diamonds grown in a lab instead of mined from the earth. They're 10 to 40% less than traditional earth-mined diamonds. They're also eco-friendly, sustainable, beautiful, and some of the biggest and best sellers in Sauter Heyman history. Nebraska's exclusive dealer of pure-grown diamonds, diamonds grown in the lab, not mined from the earth. Your friends at Sauter Heyman. 12th and O downtown, Lincoln, South Point Pavilion, Lincoln or out west in Grand Island. You can log on today. SauterHeyman.com. Okay, let's get into some side bets for the NFL this season. Danny, you're all over this. Are you just morbidly curious or think you're gonna get paid at the end of the year?
I think I'm more curious. I'm not the biggest on long-term bets just because you got to wait so long, but I end up
doing it
anyways.
You're not a patient guy?
Yeah, that's what it usually comes down to. But I usually still throw a couple regardless just because, you know, you're getting excited for football season.
No,
so.
The Hall of Fame. I mean, Bill was telling us he's going to go see Lamar Jackson. Hall of Fame game Thursday. I'm excited for the NFL season.
Right.
And I think there's some really intriguing teams. Mm-hmm. So you lay 100 to win the following number, and here are the odds with Bet Online, correct?
Yep.
Is that offshore? Is that Vegas?
I believe it's offshore.
Offshore.
Yeah.
Okay. So you bet 100 to win 600 that Aaron Rodgers will be your 2018 NFL MVP. He's plus 600. Mm-hmm. Brady in it too, plus 800. Wentz plus 1,000. Russell Wilson plus 1,200, Breeze and Goff plus 1,600, Matty Ice and Cousins plus 1,800, Carr and Roethlisberger plus $2,000, as well as Prescott and Cam Newton, Jimmy G plus $2,000, Stafford, Rivers, and Luck plus $2,500, Johnson, Bell, and Gurley. Finally, we get a running back. Is that Andre Johnson?
I was thinking it would maybe be David Johnson.
Okay.
No?
Because I think Andre probably retired, didn't he?
Yeah, I think Andre's been retired for a couple of years. Yeah,
slapped me. I just didn't think of David because he was hurt all year.
Yeah, that's. But then again, they stack him up with the running backs there, so that's why I would maybe think David Johnson.
No, you're right. So. I'm shameful. Bell?
They had odds if he was even going to play in the first week.
Well, Le'Veon's done for. I mean, he'll get popped for something. He's going to pace himself so he's nice and fresh by week 14. He'll play like 12 meaningful games all year. And then you had Brown and Jones plus 6,600.
It's interesting how far down you have to go until you get another position player.
You do. So right here, right now, we'll say it's Mama Bear's money. Who are you taking your hundy on?
It's tough because I kind of...
Here's what I don't like. I don't like Wentz coming off an injury.
No.
Brady will find out he's 41. I like Goff, but Goff may not have to do a whole hell of
a lot.
Even though he's going to have a running game and a wide receiver group. I think Goff is good. Man, and we all thought he was trash. Not trying to speak for you, but that first year was just like, damn, it's bad. They're way down on Dak and Newton. I mean, we're talking 3 years removed from an MVP for Cam. And then you got Prescott there that while he didn't have Zeke, where's Zeke on this, by the way?
He ain't on it.
No. Russell Wilson. I mean, Russell will have some stupid numbers this year, but they're going to be damn lucky to be 8-8.
Right. No, I agree.
I think you got to go with Rodgers or.
I think it's Rodgers or.
Do you go Gurley?
I'm thinking I kind of like Antonio Brown still. Okay. But it all comes down to Roethlisberger,
he's awesome
too. Yeah, he's just an absolute stud. And it's just so much harder for a receiver, I guess, because you don't get as many opportunities, obviously, as a quarterback, and you got to make the most of them. And I think he is that guy who, when he makes the plays, they're just phenomenal.
I mean, Brown touches the ball like 13 times a game, I think. So I think that's totally fair.
Shout out to my boy Garoppolo, though.
Jimmy G?
Yeah, he's from my hometown. I don't know if you ever knew that.
No.
Yeah.
Did you and him hang ever?
No, he went to a high school.
So you going on any double dates with him?
Yeah, right. I wish. He's an absolute stud. But no.
It's my friend Danny.
Yeah, I wish. Dude, no, he's awesome, though. Like, some of my friends have seen him, like, working out back home at certain places there, like, after he got drafted and was big name, too. So
he's still humble.
Yeah. Guess so.
Aside from his dating choices. Let's go there for a second. It sounds like a great idea when you're 25 to date a porn star.
Yeah, I heard it was also for she paid to go on the date. That's what I heard after.
Usually it's the other way around, man.
You would think, but it's Jimmy G, man.
So she paid him to go out.
It was like for some charity thing, maybe, you know, where they raise money to go on the dates. That's what I heard. But
do you investigate?
It was like I just heard it on some other show. Someone was saying it, like some Chicago people, because they were talking
about
it.
You were listening to The Score, and they did a deep investigative
I
report.
I guess so.
What was the gal's name, even?
Oh, I don't know.
Okay, good way to play dumb.
I was going to say, you're acting like you don't know. You know, you're looking the other way.
No, man. I mean, she isn't my type.
Okay.
You know?
Yeah, I hear you.
Let's move on. Incriminating here. So you're betting on Antonio Brown?
Yeah.
You'd bet 100 to win the 660? 6,600,
I
should
say. I'd say
Julio,
Gurley,
though.
Like
I mean, does Julio, like, strike you as... He doesn't get enough touchdowns. He'll get 13 catches a game for 300 yards.
And he'll also have those highlight plays. And
he's
but they're
awesome.
Picking up a lot of athletes,
he's
though,
old,
too, on their
he's
team.
He's older, yeah. And he's got a bad toe.
Yeah, they got Sanu. They drafted, I think, a couple...
They got a kid out of Alabama.
Yeah, that's right. So That's why I also think that might hurt a little bit. With the Steelers, you know, you got Juju, who's a really good receiver, mm-hmm. but you're still going to Antonio 8 times out of 10.
I guess it's safe and weak and easy, but give me Aaron.
I mean, yeah.
I think he'll be awesome, and he'll be back from that collarbone, and he can just throw it, man.
Yeah, that's a smart investment.
I think so. When it comes to the first head coach to be fired, lay 100 to win 275, Hugh Jackson. He's the leading vote getter or investment to make money off of a side wager. Vance Joseph, I love Vance Joseph. He was such a good coordinator down at Miami, and Sue and them really played well. He's in Denver. He's a native Louisianan. Vance is just, he ended up going to Colorado, but his brother Mickey Joseph played quarterback in Nebraska. Nebraska was in on Vance as an option quarterback. Colorado ended up going to the Cordell Stewart plan, but Vance was on those teams. Good family. So I think Vance Joseph has a future in the NFL. I just don't know if it's his head coach. Defense got to show up for him. Adam Gase is the third most likely guy to be fired. I think Dirk Cutter's done.
That's
He's the one that they
too.
Switched out Lovey for. Cutter had the relationship with Jameis.
Yeah,
Jameis has posed him.
Crap down there.
Bowles. Jay Gruden plus 1,400. John Gruden plus 3,300. Apparently, Hoodie's not on here. Varsity continues.